Let's now open our Bibles, the beautiful Word of God, to the first letter of Peter, chapter 5. We'll read the verses 1 to 11, and the text is the verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, the verses 1 to 11. This is God's Word to us. So I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, this is Your Word. This is Your people gathered before You. Father, we pray that You would speak to us, that You would enlighten our hearts and our minds by the Word of God, not to have groundless emotions, but solid truth poured into our heart, that our heart, soul, mind, and emotions might worship You and be steadfast in the faith that You have given us in Christ. For Father, we pray this for Your glory and for our need. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, was your heart filled with joy this week? If you would look back over the past week, was joy the overarching emotion of your heart throughout the week? Well, how did the apostles live joyful lives in their difficulties? And I think in our day today, there's a lot of people who lack joy. The overarching feeling in a lot of hearts would be fear, confusion, and maybe even questions, if you could call that an emotion. Our lives are always filled with anxieties, aren't they? If you think about school, or work, or health, or finances, or relationships, all these areas which all of us go through in some way, shape, or form throughout our lives are surrounded with anxieties, aren't they? They're beautiful things, but there's always anxieties in some way, shape, or form. They all come to us with a measure of fear. But most of the time, I think, we find a way to deal with these fears, don't we? The little anxieties that come to our path, we can kind of muster up a way to overcome these difficulties, because maybe we look around us and see how other people have dealt with these things and take example from them. And so by one another, we help each other up and help each other to move on in this life. And if it becomes too much for us ourselves, we can ask the help of the experts around us, and there's ways to overcome many anxieties. But I think the coronavirus hits all of us, and then it begins to separate us, doesn't it? It puts all of us on an island, and so we can't come to one another when you're struggling with depression. You can't go and meet other people because that's been excluded. And so we've all come to ourselves, and we have little islands that we live in, little bubbles, and then the fear comes really in our heart, right? Because we look to the people around us, and they are afraid. And then we look at the news, and they are afraid. And then we think one man stands up, he's not afraid, and a few days later, there's fear there too. There's no person around you that can tell you when it will end and how it will ultimately affect your and my life. It might take your life. It might not affect you much at all. We just don't know. It's a mystery. It's a foggy future ahead of us to which none of us knows the precise outcome. You and I do not know what will happen throughout the next year in our personal lives here on this earth. And this is where fear strikes, doesn't it? It affects our lives. It has a direct influence on our lives to the point that we don't know how we will overcome or how we will get through or how we will be struck down by that which comes to us. It affects our life which we live and for which we are responsible, which makes us believe that we should take control over the outcome of our lives, but we cannot. And that's the fear, isn't it? Because it comes to our lives and we are sure that we are in control of our lives, but now it comes over us in such a way that we can't control it. So what do we do? Fear. Now, if we believe that we should take control, it's all good when things go well. But what about if you're not sure about the outcome? What happens then? Fear enters the heart. It doesn't matter if you're a 7-foot guy who weighs 400 pounds, or if you're a little frail lady. If you realize that things come upon you that you cannot control and that might be disastrous in your life, fear will strike in one way or another. The fear that something will affect our life which we have no power to control. And yet at times like these, God calls us to rejoice. Because believe it or not, Peter was in much worse circumstances than you and I are in today. And yet Peter wasn't going around worried about the next day. As a matter of fact, once he was caught in jail, and God opened the door, and then he went out and preached again. He rejoiced. If we want to take Peter, we've got to take Paul as well. He has this list of being beaten, drowned. Multiple times people thought he was dead, and yet he stood up and he continued going. This must be, if we would see him, we would not be a shiny, sparkly figure of a beautiful picture on the wall. He would be a beaten up man with serious health issues. But he rejoiced. He rejoiced. This morning we looked at John 14 and saw how Jesus tells his people not to let their hearts be troubled, because Jesus is going to prepare a place for us and he is coming back to bring us. But how do we fear? How do we face the real fears that we face today? How do we live through the fears of everyday life? We can think about, well, one day we'll be in heaven, but still there is a mortgage to pay. There's still, you might have family members or people who are in danger of illness. You have children who might be in danger. There's a world in which your children will still live. How do we overcome the onslaught of anxieties in our life? And how can we turn this fear into joy? I think we must recognize something, that fear is first and foremost an emotion of our heart. It's in the heart. Fear is not a necessity on the human body. That's why Paul and Jesus Christ and the Apostle Peter could walk through the same difficulties and not be afraid. So if we want to overcome our fear and rejoice even in these days, we should understand that the problem within us that causes, or that we understand the problem within us that causes this fear and anxiety. In other words, how is this fear developed in the heart? Where does it spring from? Why was Jesus not afraid? Well, we are so easily afraid. In our text, we see, surprisingly maybe, but that fear is the fruit of pride. Fear is the fruit of pride. Not the pride that says, I am better than my neighbor, look at me, but the pride that says, I can control my own life, I am a self-made man, I am in charge of my life, that kind of pride. To the degree that we believe that we are in control of our lives, to that degree we'll be afraid when things get hard. If we say, I can keep myself healthy and in good shape, we will be afraid when we cannot, when we no longer can control the health of our lives. When we think we live in a healthy environment and we can no longer walk in the supermarket knowing consciously that there might be a virus in that very supermarket, maybe on the very products that you pick up off the shelf. You're out of control. But if your heart says, I must be in control, and now you're out of control, fear strikes. But it's rooted in that pride that you are in control. If we can say, I can keep myself wealthy and financially independent, we will be afraid when financial struggles hit us. Because the person that we look to can no longer help us, which is me. And so if we say, I cannot keep myself healthy and wealthy, my life belongs to the Lord, then we can overcome our fears. Do you see that? When we no longer say that I am in charge of my life, I am responsible of my life, but when we say Christ is responsible for my life. Christ is the one who must keep me healthy, and if not, he has a purpose. Christ is the one who can decide whether these things are mine or whether they're not. They belong to Christ. That's humility, isn't it? That's humility at the deepest level. Because then what you're saying is this, even my own life, I am not in charge of. But Christ is in charge of my life. And then we can rest in God's ability and rejoice in his care for us. And therefore Peter writes that humility before God is the remedy to fear and the way to overcome our anxieties. You begin with point one, the humility that's required for joy. Read these words. If you have the Bibles with you, read it. Otherwise, I'll read it to you here anyway. Listen carefully. Verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What's the commandment in this verse? What's the commandment? Humble yourselves. It's God's word to us. Humble yourselves. God calls the apostle, through the apostle Peter, all of us to humility. But what does it look like? This commandment is not finished yet, is it? He specifies how we are to humble ourselves. Do you see that? If you would take away, and never cut things out of the Bible, but just to help this sentence and to put it together, if we would take the commandment in verse 6 and then the addition in verse 7, this is how it reads. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God by casting all your anxieties upon him. You see that? Verse 6, humble yourself. There's no other commandment in between. And then it's specified how we are to humble ourselves by casting our anxieties upon the Lord. That's humility before God. Because that recognizes that you cannot carry your own cares. You cannot carry your own anxieties. But if you humble yourself and say, my life is not my own and I am not powerful enough to take care of my own life, I need you to take my anxieties. I need you to take care of me. Now, we learn two things here, don't we? First of all, true Christians have anxieties. True Christians have anxieties. We should not expect as Christians that we are never tempted to be afraid. I don't think that Peter here is speaking in some kind of exalted level that he has never reached this low level of anxieties. I think he is speaking from his own experience that he must humble himself before God and give his life over to God with the anxieties therewith. And secondly, true Christians are called by God to humble themselves by casting their anxieties upon God. Think about that, man. not carrying your own anxieties and see, I am man enough to overcome my anxieties. And not as women to say, well, this is part of my nature. I carry anxieties. That's me and my womanhood. No. To be faithful to God means to listen to what God says, which means here specifically to cast your anxieties upon the Lord. We should not carry our anxieties, but cast them upon the Lord and give them to God. And therefore, it requires humility to be joyful, for it is through humility that we cast the hard, darkening cares upon the Lord. So how do we do this? How do you cast your cares upon the Lord? Well, first of all, we should begin to think biblically, which is a good place to start in every part of life. Our old life thinks this way: this is my life, and I am in control. If I want to end at B, I got to take step A and follow this road to B. But in Christ, our thinking is like this: my life belongs to God, and He is in control. And whatsoever God desires with my life is good. That is biblical humility. That is the only way to living a joyful Christian life. And to the point where you hold back that part of your life, to that point you will be anxious. And to that point you will be proud before God. And you'll be hurt. If you don't say that your life belongs to Christ, what you're doing is this: you're going to go into a power struggle with God over your life. And you'll never win. And He will get it out of your hands one way or another. Maybe to the overwhelming anxieties that come to your heart. But God says, I've paid for your life with my blood. I have sent my Son as an offering to pay for your life, and I know the good plan I have for your life. But it's not the good plan that you might have for yourself. And so give that life to me, and I will make it glorious in my sight forever and ever and ever. But sometimes, pretty much every morning that we wake up, we think, but I have a great plan for my life. I have a great way, and there's these worries upon my path, and I just got to overcome them. And Christ says, stop. Cast your anxieties upon me, for your life belongs to me. You're no longer yourself. You belong to Christ. You see, we should really break with the Superman, Superwoman thinking that we are powerful enough to rule our own lives. We should come back down to reality. We don't wear a cape and we don't have flying powers. We are people who are dependent upon the gravity of this earth to keep us down. But in Christ, we are dependent upon the power of Christ to keep us close to His heart. None of us knows the future. None of us what lies beyond us. And if you want a good example from the past, what do you think about Alexander the Great? You know what the amazing... I think God works in some ways and almost in irony. You know how Alexander the Great was killed by a little bug. A little bug. A little mosquito kind of animal who one time sting them, make him sick, and he died. Alexander the Great, who overcame nations, is killed by a little bug. That's our power. But that's all right. If our lives belong to this God and not to ourselves, then we have a God in heaven who is all-wise, all-powerful, and full of love, and therefore we can be dependent upon Him. Which one of you has counted all your breaths while I started preaching? Which one has counted all your heartbeats when I started preaching? Which one has been controlling your kidneys or your heart or anything in between? I'm not a medical man. But all the parts of your body, which one of you stand up and say that you can? None. God is in control of your body to make it work, to make it function. And God is in control of this life. And if you want to be anxious, go ahead. But if you're a true Christian, it will mound up until you cannot bear it, until you come to this point and say, my life is not my own. I belong with both body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we must cast our anxieties upon Him. If we understand that we belong to Him, then we can cast these cares upon Christ. Now think about this. One pastor told me, he says it's not to borrow to Christ our anxieties. It's not to hold together these anxieties for a few days, but it's to cast them upon them. They have to, when you cast something, it has to leave your hand. It has to fly through the air until it reaches its destination. You know why? Because if you give it to God, you'll pull it back. Because you'll be in prayer before the Lord and casting your anxieties upon Him or giving it to Him, but then you open your eyes and you bring them with you and you say, at least I prayed Him. It's not the way it goes. It's not the way God asks us to do. It says to cast, to leave your hands, to leave your heart, and to place them upon God and say, God, You are in control. And I trust that the outcome is good in Your sight. And I know that You're my faithful Savior. And even though I might not understand the outcome this day, one day I will know that this is perfectly good and wise in Your sight. It takes fear, it takes faith to overcome fear, isn't it? If we belong to Him, then He, listen to this, if we belong to Him, then He is responsible for the things that make us anxious and afraid. Now, beloved, if we cast our cares upon Him, we can be sure that He takes full responsibility for our cares. This is an amazing truth. Think about this. As soon as we cast our cares upon Him out of obedience to His command, He becomes responsible for our cares. Have you ever thought about that? When you bring your cares to God, God becomes responsible as your Father and as your Savior for your cares. As God says, cast your cares upon Me. Now I don't mean this in any disrespect, He has to deal with it now. It's in His responsibility. The account has shifted to His account. The debt, the difficulty is now His responsibility and no longer yours. Your responsibility is great. It's humongous to follow Christ. Trust Him. And so it is when we cast our cares upon the Lord, at that time, when you begin to do that, when you realize that my life is not my own, I've been bought with a price, my life belongs to Him, the stuff around me is not my own, nothing is my own, it's always Christ, and through that it's come to me. And so I rejoice in the things that He gives me, but it's from Christ, and I borrow everything in this world. This suit belongs to Christ. This microphone belongs to Christ. This Bible belongs to Christ. This little machine belongs to Christ. We borrow it. It's gifts from Him to us to help us through this life. But it belongs to Him. Your ears belong to Christ. Your nose belongs to Christ. You're never bought. You never paid for it. He gave it all. So don't be anxious, but cast your cares upon Him. If you're in Christ, my friends, you got some Father with power who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills to begin with as pocket change. There is nothing that doesn't belong to God. But not only that, God has connected honor to this way of living. You see, we think that if we make ourselves big, that we will receive honor that way. So you find in companies that people will begin from the bottom, but they only work there at the bottom because they want to raise as high as they can, because then they will have the honor. And so you get elbowing and seeking to climb up the ladder. Nobody is going to humble themselves. But in God's kingdom, it's the opposite. So we come to our second point, the honor that will follow. Now, in our society, we connect neediness with shame. If you need something, it brings shame with it, isn't it? If you have to hold up your hand, it's shame. And people are often ashamed to reveal their fears and needs. But in God's kingdom, before God, it's the opposite. Those who need from God are the ones who God honors. And those who say, I don't need You, is the one who God shames. Those who cast their burdens upon the Lord will be exalted by God. Listen to this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that the proper time he may exalt you. What does it mean? If you don't humble yourselves, there will be no exaltation. If you keep your anxiety to yourself and you think you can deal with your own cares in your life, there's no way that God can glorify even your life. But if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you. In other words, if we humble ourselves before God in private in our heart, God will one day exalt us in the new creation before all. God honors those who are the most dependent on him. This is the reason why if we cast our anxieties upon the Lord, that is, if we entrust God with our fears, we really honor him as Lord and God. Think about that. How do we honor God in the middle of this coronavirus? How do we honor God? By casting our fears upon the Lord. By saying, at this time, today, I trust that my life is in God's hands and that only that will come to me and that only that will happen to me and my family and my loved one, what God allows. And if it comes, it is in God's will. And if it doesn't come, I praise God and thank him for it in the flesh. And if it does come, I praise God and thank him for it in my new body. But this is my life. It belongs to Christ. We exalt him as our king and our protector in that way when we humble ourselves by being dependent upon him. Isn't that amazing? I find two responses. People that say, oh, we got to be wise and we got to be careful and we got to be concerned. We got to be concerned and be wise in what we do and then be faithful to God. Then we have other people who say, well, it doesn't matter. God is in control anyway, so it doesn't matter. But who does this? Acknowledge their fears. Acknowledge the situation. Be real about the anxieties and then cast them upon the Lord. So to be wise on the one hand, to be careful with what we have received in his life, but at the same time, cast them upon the Lord and not be afraid in our hearts. You see that? We live in two kingdoms, don't we? And we have to be right in both kingdoms. The kingdom of this world, where we have to be wise in our body, and the kingdom of heaven, where we have to walk in faith. They don't contradict because you know what Genesis 1 says? God created the heavens and the earth. And this is God's world. And so this is not something that is outside of God's jurisdiction. This is not something that God doesn't see. God is not a person who's only concerned with spiritual things. He is concerned with your body and life in this world. Because when he made it, it said, and it was very good. So, now if we do that before human beings, if we begin to live this way before human beings in this world and say, we humble ourselves, we cast our anxieties upon you, what will happen? If all of us now in this country begin to say, oh, our hope and trust is only in our leaders in this country. Well, I'm not sure what would happen to our leaders, and I'm not the one who can judge. But if we look at history and you look at men like Caesar, with absolute power, Hitler with absolute power, Kim Jong-un with absolute power. If you do that before a human leader and you give them more honor, what you find more easily is aggression. And so people are afraid to honor God that way because they're afraid in this world to do it that way. And so we think we have to stand our own. And if you do that for men and if you live that way and you cast your cares upon the shoulders of men, they become greedy for power. But your Father is not like that. God is not like the men and dictators in this world. God's heart is full of generosity and love, and if we humble ourselves before him, he doesn't abuse our humility or abuse his power. He pours out his love because he delights in us, and rather than putting us down, he honors us and raises us up. And says, this is my child in whom I am well pleased. God finds great delight, beloved, in honoring and exalting the humble, those who acknowledge God. So Peter says, if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God in this world, then God will crown you with glory and honor in this world and in the world to come. Now think about this. Do you remember the history of Gideon and the 300 men? Now, if Gideon was powerful, he could have beaten them maybe in his own mind. He had gathered an army of 32,000 men. And at that time, if he would have beaten, he would have might have been a great hero. Might have been an amazing thing. God must have been behind him, but what a hero. And God says, it won't do. It's too many. Then he had an army of 10,000. Odds that would make him still a mighty hero of war. God says, it won't do. It's too many. You're too strong in your own power. Finally, he had 300 men. Little grasshoppers compared to the other army. It was an impossible task, and Gideon needed to cast his anxieties upon the Lord and trust the Lord that day. And Gideon trusted in the Lord, and they overcame a mighty army. And God exalted Gideon to be the hero of his people. When Gideon became small before the Lord exalted him. Do you see that? It's exactly what is happening here, isn't it? If we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, God at the right time will exalt us. God desired Gideon to trust in him. For only then would his heart not be darkened with pride when he became victorious. God does the same with us as with Gideon. He allows us to come face to face with our fears to the point that we feel overwhelmed with anxiety. But it is at that time that God tells us, now Gideon, you stand here with your 300 men, and the fears are overwhelming, and you cannot see beyond tomorrow. Now you stand there in your life, and you don't know what's going to happen, and the country is going on almost on a lockdown. What will you do now? Trust in me. Humble yourselves, and I will exalt you at the proper time. As we humble ourselves before God and say, we cannot do it, Lord, but you must do it. God gives strength and helps us to overcome our fears. When we humble ourselves before God, God exalts us with strength to overcome. Beloved, during Gideon's time, the whole nation was paralyzed with fear. You realize that? That's where Gideon's life comes from in the first place. Everybody was afraid. An anxiety for the enemies and with their sharp weapons and swords, but not Gideon. Not because Gideon was proud, but because Gideon had humbled himself before God and had casted out his anxieties upon the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Gideon at the right day. Are you a Gideon? Are you a Gideon at this time? Is the church in America a Gideon at this time? Where we trust upon the Lord even with the odds not in our favor. We live in a time of fear, but we should not be afraid. We should realize that our lives do not belong to ourselves. And the battle of this day does not belong to us, but it belongs to the Lord. Our life belongs to the Lord. Your families belong to the Lord. If we humble ourselves before the Lord and cast our anxieties upon Him, He will make Himself strong for us. If you're afraid, that's all right. Don't stay afraid. Cast your fears upon the Lord. Remember who your life belongs to. Let me put it from a different perspective. How precious are you to God? How worthy are you to God? Think of any of your possession, your most valuable possession. Would you give your son to die for that possession? No way. That's how precious you are to God. You see, the unreasonableness of to think that God does not care for us even though He gave His Son for us. Beautiful, isn't it? If you care about your life, God cares more. Because you didn't pay that price for your life. I don't even know if I could pay my son's life for my own life. But God did. So we come to the assurance of divine care. And this is where it gets so sweet. Beloved brothers and sisters, listen to the beautiful words of God. Casting, in verse 7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. Think about this, beloved children of God. Amid all the panic and the uncertainties of our days stands the steadfast assurance of God's divine care. He cares for you. Like a hen cares for her chicks. Like a mother who's had her baby is holding in her hand and feeds the baby. And is ready to fight anything. Even in animal nature, you see that, isn't it? In our where we're from, boars are not a very dangerous kind of animals except when they got cubs. Is that what you say, cub? Young little piggies? Then you got to watch out because they're ready to strike. And if you get anywhere too close to them, they'll come hunt after you and they will try to kill you if they can. Don't you think God's love is far more caring than a boar? Which one of you would not be ready to fight to the death if one of your children was in danger? Which one of you would not strike another man as hard as you could if they would threaten your wife? Don't you think that your heart, which is darkened with selfishness in so many ways, don't you think God's love is far more strong and caring for your life? You see, our lives can fly by sometimes with all the busyness. Or we can be absorbed in our inner fears and passions and we forget to remember these beautiful words that God cares for you. I wish that there would be a news broadcaster who would say that after every news article. This has happened, but God cares for His people. This increase of deaths, but God cares for His people. There's terror coming to us, but God cares for His people. That's how we should look at the news. And our own lives. This comes to us. It's hard. It's painful. It makes us weep. But we know that God cares for us. If we can't do that, we have to close the book and pick another. We have to pick man's stories. But this is what God says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than the little birds that live today and die tomorrow? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? All your fear, does that really add your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Look at the pretty little flowers. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the unbelievers, those who have no God, they seek after all these things. They worry about that. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Isn't that amazing? These words of Jesus Christ in Matthew. Beloved brothers and sisters, if God cares about the little birds and the lilies who live only for a short season, if God cares for them with such great care, will He not much more care about you? It's amazing, isn't it? I think by the way we live, we can conclude that God cares more about you and me than we do all about ourselves. Your Father is greatly concerned about your life, brother, sister, even about your clothes, your food, your health. God's eyes are upon your life. He watches over you as a mother watches over her newborn. There is nothing in your life that escapes God's attention. Nothing. And He will not let you be burdened by something that you cannot bear if you cast your anxieties upon Him. Beloved, God calls us to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we seek God, God will certainly care for the things that we need. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, do not be anxious. Do not be afraid, oh beloved. Remember, in times of fear and anxiety that you are commanded to cast your anxieties upon God. And to remember that He cares for you. That He really cares for you. He cares for you. That He cares for you. Remember. Don't forget. Don't let the news of this world filter your ears and let the Word of God be pushed out. No. Because God wrote this as a gift to you so that your eyes would be open, that you would see God's care. There's not a moment that passes by without His care for you and me. There's not a millisecond that His eyes are not upon your life. God never goes for coffee to look the other way. We are always in His cares. His eyes always watch over us. His hand is always outstretched to protect us if you're in Christ. And so Jesus says, you worry about all these things. Don't do that. Consider or seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you have that, there is no need to fear. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, casting our anxieties upon this fading life, upon You, but receiving from You Your Word and the forgiveness of sins and the kingdom of God, Your righteousness to wash away our sin, to clothe us with Your perfection and Your beauty. Father, we pray that by Your Holy Spirit, O God, You would fill us with more and more and more of Your grace. We thank You for this word tonight. Father, I thank You that You comfort our souls. We pray that You be with us and help us to cast our fears, whatever the news might say. Your word remains fresh and new and reliable until the last breath of any man on this earth. So, Father, we praise You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.